To everybody. Parshas Noach, which we read yesterday, is always a difficult parsha. For me, Parshios Bereishis and Noach are from the most difficult parshios to decipher, understand, elucidate. Parshas Noach is a bit easier, but of course, the destruction of the world is certainly something that we all wonder, question, and try to understand. What I'd like to do this morning is something that we've done years past, but I'd like to take a little bit of a different look and a take, and that is trying to understand Noach. And where was Noach vis-a-vis his family, vis-a-vis his people, vis-a-vis mankind? Try to understand Noach the man, because he's not an easy individual to really, really get to the bottom of. Of course, the fact that in the opening pasuk in the parsha, he's referred to as a tzaddik tamim, a righteous man, perfect in his generation, is something that automatically speaks to his uniqueness. I don't know if we have another individual in Tanakh who's referred to as a tzaddik tamim. In Chazal, Yosef is referred to as Yosef HaTzaddik, but even in the Psukim, in the Torah, we never refer to Yosef as a tzaddik per se, and it's very uncommon to refer to any individual as a tzaddik, let alone a tzaddik tamim. So certainly this speaks to the grandeur and the incredible heightened spiritual status of this man called Noach. On the other hand, whether you heard the drasha that I sent in on Thursday or not, you'll note that that's not the case. It doesn't always remain that way. I addressed there, and I won't elaborate upon it now, but Noach doesn't remain a tzaddik tamim. If you continue to follow the parsha, you'll note that Noach's status drops from being a tzaddik tamim to being a tzaddik, and then being an ish adama, a man of the ground. And we will talk about that a little bit later in today's shiur. But note that the man who was given this title and the greatest of accolades of anybody in Tanakh, being referred to as a tzaddik tamim, doesn't remain. So a tzaddik tamim is the beginning of his introduction. That's how we are introduced to him. Then he moves to being a tzaddik, which is not too shabby. As I said myself, there are not too many people referred to as a tzaddik in all of Tanakh. So Noach continues only dropping the tamim status, but remains tzaddik. And at the end of the parsha, he becomes the ish adama. Now, ish adama is not necessarily a negative trait, but certainly in regard to the way that he was referred to earlier as being a tzaddik tamim, to go from a tzaddik tamim to an ish adama, a man of the ground, seems to be a significant drop in status. So I'd like to try to understand who Noach was. Why, on the one hand, is he a tzaddik tamim, on the other hand, a tzaddik, and on the other hand, an ish adama? Let's try to understand. Furthermore, I'd like to try to understand something else. And of course, there's a Rashi that we're all familiar with. Rashi, in the opening of the entire parsha, when on the opening pasuk, Perek Vav, Pasuk Tes, says, Ela toldos Noach, Noach ish tzaddik, tamim haya bedorosav, which means that Noach was a righteous man, perfect in his generation. So as we're all familiar from grade school, Rashi notes, bedorosav, in his generation. And there's a machlokas, a basic debate between the Amoraim, it's a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, that debates, what does it mean, bidorosav, in his generation? So Rashi says, yesh merabosenu dorshem oso l'shvach. There are certain school of rabbis who say that this is praiseworthy of Noach. Kol shekein shilo haya bidor tzadikim haya tzadik Yosef. Certainly, if Noach lived in a more righteous generation, of course, Noach's generation was filled with robbery, pilfering, stealing, avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shvichos dor. It was a very, very negative, bad generation. So if Noach were to have been in another generation, certainly, not only would it have been a tzaddik, not only would it have been a tzaddik tamim, but even much more than that. However, the Rashi continues, Yesh mirabosenu dorshon lagnai. Certain school of rabbis understand that the fact that the pasuk says bidorosav in his generation is really to his detriment. It's really lagnai. It's not a positive statement of Noach, it's really a negative. Lefi doro tzaddik. In his generation, he was a tzaddik. Think about it. Look at the people he was surrounded by. They were stealing, they were robbing, they were involved in all forms of illegal behavior and inappropriate activity. So therefore, of course, Noach is a tzaddik in his generation. But if you were to put him in a different generation, in the generation of Avraham, lohaya nachshav l'klum, he wouldn't have been thought of anything. So I don't want to address at great length this debate, which we've discussed over the years, but I'd like to try to understand something else. And that is a very basic question. Why are we busy comparing Noach to somebody else? When do we ever see ourselves comparing great tzaddikim to other tzaddikim? We don't do that. That's not something Chazal do. That's not something the Rishonim do. Why is the Gemara busy comparing Noach to Avram? Why is that such a critical thing to do? Why is Rashi, why is Chazal so focused on understanding who Noach was compared to others? Let's try to figure out who Noach was vis-a-vis himself. I am I, you are you. We don't compare ourselves to other people. That's not our business. That's not something we do. Our focus is ourselves. So why is there really such a debate as to was Noach great in his generation, but would he have been in the generation of Avram, he would have been greater? Or would he have been in the generation of Avram, he would have been weaker? Why are we comparing Noach altogether? What's so critical about that? What are Chazal trying to do and then comparing Noach to Avram? Now, it's not a one-off. It's not an anomaly, because if you continue in Rashi, Rashi does it again. In the next Rashi, the Pasuk says, as you continue opening Pasuk, Es ha'elokim his halech Noach. Noach walked with God. So look what Rashi says. Uba Avraham Omer, and when it comes to Avram, his halech lefanai. It says just the opposite. Walk in front of me. Noach hayat sarich sad letomcha. Noach needed encouragement. Noach needed some help. Aval Avraham hay mischazek umehalech betzidkom elav. Avram was a righteous tzaddik. He didn't need anybody's encouragement. He didn't need anybody to hold his hand. God had to hold Noach's hand. Es Elokim his halech Noach. But when it came to Avram, it says, his aleich lefanai, you walk in front of me. So again, I'm not looking to compare Avram to Noach, but Rashi does. Why is Avram being compared to Noach? Why is Rashi, two Rashis in a row, stressing and focusing on the comparison and the contrast between Noach and Avram? What's so critical about that? Why is Rashi, why are Chazal focused on understanding who Noach was in light of next week's parsha, Avram Avinu? Take this a step further. It's not just Noach who we're comparing to Avram, but if you recall, as I mentioned again in the Drasha, you note that Noach is also compared to none other than Moshe Rabbeinu. If you look in the opening psukim in the Haftorah, yesterday's Haftorah, we refer to the flood as Mei Noach, the flood of Noach. And there's a lot of discussion in classical Mefarshei HaChumash, and the later commentaries, why do we refer to the flood as Mei Noach? So many explain that it's really Noach's fault. Noach is held accountable for the flood. We're Noach to have done more. We're Noach to have inspired the people. We're Noach to have taught the people. Was Noach to have chastised the people, then maybe the flood would not have occurred. Noach was given the opportunity, the ability, the wherewithal, and the preparation by God to tell the people that there's about to be a destruction. Noach, go tell and change the people. So therefore, the Navi Yeshaya and the Haftarah in this week's Parashas Noach refers to it as Mei Noach. The Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Bardichev, as well as other well-known early Hasidish sources and earlier sources than that, note that if you take the letters Mei Noach, Mem Yud, Nun Ches, and rejumble them, it spells Macheni. Macheni. What's the significance of the word Macheni? Who said that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu tells God, "Machaini na misifracha asher kasabta." God, erase me from the book that you have written. Right? Moshe Rabbeinu is so powerful and feels so strongly about the Jewish people that he says, "I'm willing to go to bat for them. And if not, machaini na misifracha asher kasabta, erase me from the book which you have written." So therefore, the words "Mei Noach" and "Machaini," if they are rejumbled, are one and the same. And therefore, the Kedushas Levi and others note that Moshe and Noach are regularly compared. And again, let's ask ourselves the question, why are we busy comparing Noach to Moshe? Is it not enough that he's compared to Avram? Is it not enough that he should grow and be contemplated and understood in light of himself, but now to compare him to Moshe? If we're to take two of the utmost or greatest leaders that we look throughout, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, probably the two that come to mind are Avram Avinu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Avram Avinu in Sefer Bereishis, Moshe Rabbeinu in Sefer Shmos, and of course, Sefer Bamidbar and Dvarim. Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu, and Avram is Avram Avinu. why is it that Noach is constantly being compared and contrasted and looked and vetted vis-a-vis these two greats? Why are we so busy doing that, number one? And number two, it's not fair. That's not something to do. We don't compare Avram to Moshe. We don't compare Yosef to Yaakov. We don't compare Yaakov to Yitzchak. Everybody has their own unique set of talents, traits, and qualities and characteristics. Why are we focusing so much on Noach and comparing Noach to these two individuals? If you continue looking in the parasha, you'll see something else that's worthy of our attention. And that's as follows. If you look in Rashi, Rashi notes on a pasuk in Perek Zion, pasuk Tes, Rashi says the following thing about Noach. That when it comes to Noach, Noach was, and I quote Rashi, Perek Zion, pasuk Zion, Af Noach miktane amanahaya. Noach was from an individual who was of a low level of emunah. His level of belief in Hashem was low. Ma'amin ve'eno ma'amin. Sheyavo ha-mabul. He believed and he didn't believe that the mabul will come. V'lo nechnas la-teva shedachku ha-mayim. He didn't enter the teva until the waters forced him. So again, this Rashi also says something fascinating about Noach. Noach is a tzaddik tamim. Noach is a tzaddik. Noach is an Ish Adama. And here Noach is a mamin ve'eno mamin. He's a believer and he's a non-believer. Again, this fits into the mix and to the confusion and to the very, very difficult way that how do we understand this Noach? So he's a tzaddik or he's a tzaddik tamim? He's a tzaddik tamim or he's an Ish Adama? He's a Baal Emun or he's not a Baal Emun? When do we ever talk about somebody being a mamin ve'eno mamin? Either you believe or you don't believe. There's no such thing as being a believer and a non-believer. How do you believe and not believe? So what does Rashi mean when Rashi says, Af Noach miktane emanaya? Noach was from a low-level emuna. Mamin ve'eno mamin. He believed and he didn't believe. Well, either I believe or I don't believe. There's not really feasible to go halfway on this. There's no middle ground. There's no 50%. I'm a Baal Emunah 50%, but the other 50% right. Either you believe or you don't believe. I believe the Mabul is going to come or it's not going to come. I mean, where are you, Noach? Please stand up and explain yourself. Who are you and what exactly is happening? So I'd like to try to develop an approach this morning about Noach. I'd like to begin with one point and then share with you in the Psukim a way to try to prove the position that I'm going to take about Noach. And I think the way to understand Noach is actually by understanding his name, what he was, and who he was about, and show you the psukim that prove this point. Noach, as we refer to him, can also be understood milashon nach. Nach means passive. Nach means reactive. Nach means to take it easy. When you tell in Lashon HaKodesh or in even modern Hebrew today, you're going to go take a nap, ani holech lanuach, ani holech, ani nach, hu nach, hi nacha, means I'm resting, I'm taking it easy. Noach took it easy. Noach was nach, that was who he was. He was an individual who was not proactive, but he rather was reactive. And I'm going to show you in the Psukim how this works itself out. But it's not just that he was reactive and that he was passive. If you look at the last pasuk in all of Bereishis, last week's parsha, not in Parshas Noach, but the way we're introduced to Noach in Parshas Bereishis, last week, when God says that he regrets creating the world, the pasuk that says is as follows. Perek Vav, pasuk Zayin and Ches, HaKadosh Baruch says, Ki nichamti ki asisim. I regret, reconsider creating them. The Noach matza chein b'enei Hashem. Noach found grace. Noach found favor in the eyes of God. What's chein? Chein means grace. A person who is cheinedek, a person who has grace, a person who has favor. That's chein. It's nice, it's kind, it's soft. If you respell or flip the word chein, what word do you have? Noach. Noach has a person of chein. Chein can be used positively, but chein also has another connotation to it. Chein means I want to make people happy. I'm soft. I'm not a person who's going to rock the boat. I'm not an individual who's going to cause an uproar. I'm not willing to stand up to people. I'm not willing to speak up for something. I'm going to listen and I want to make sure people are happy with me. I want to make sure that people are satisfied with me. I'm not willing to stand up. I'm not willing to fight. I'm not willing to get engaged in any encounter, but I want people to like me. I want people to like me. I want people to be happy with me. That's Chen. And that's Noach. And that's Nach. Noach was a person who was very, very worried about what people are going to think, what people are going to do, and where he was. He wasn't ready to stand up to others. Umfakert, just the opposite of the two individuals who Rashi, Chazal, continued to compare Noach to, Avraham and Moshe. If you look at the lives of Avraham and Moshe, they were not peachy. They weren't simple. They weren't easy. Noach lived in just as tumultuous and difficult times as Avraham and Moshe, each on their own level. Noach was dealing with a community, a civilization, mankind, who really, really were decrepit. Both Ben Adam Lamaka, Ben Adam Lachavero. Noach was surrounded by people who were challenging God and were challenging mankind interpersonally. Noach had the opportunity to stand up and say, look, this isn't right. There's a God. There's a world. There are people. There's humanity. There's mankind. You can't steal from somebody else. You can't take something from somebody else. You can't walk into somebody's house, into somebody's store and just take it. It doesn't work like that. That's the world that we discussed of last week, the world of Cain and Hevel, where individuals thought that humanity, human beings, civilization, and animals are one and the same. We're only looking out for ourselves. The generation of the flood, the years of the Mabel, and that generation of Adam through Noach were generations focused on being self-centered and looking after myself. And there wasn't such a distinction between animal kingdom and human beings. And everybody was just looking at themselves. Noach was a person who had ability. He was a tzaddik tamim. He was a person who was matzah chein b'enei Hashem. He was a tzaddik, and such a person was given the innate qualities and fundamentally categorically different than the rest of his generation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu built him differently. Noach wasn't the regular individual who was coming from the door of Adam and Cain and Hevel and Enosh. He had the abilities of Chanoch. He had a different personality, different traits, and he was given these qualities to be able to speak to his people. And the people recognized that Noach was different. They understood that this was a man who walked with God, as the pasuk says, "Es Elokim es Aleich Noach." Everybody knew that. But what do you do with that? And this is where Noach veered. And here's where you find a fundamental and categorical difference between Noach and Avram and Moshe. Because if you open up Parshas Lech Lecha and Vayera and Chaye Sarah, and you read the Psukim, and you read Rashi, and you read Chazal, and you understand who Avram was, Avram Avinu fought the world. You know what Avram's name was? Not just Avram Avinu, not just Avram Ohavi, but it was Avram HaIvri. What does it mean, Avram HaIvri? So Chazal explained that Kol HaOlam Be'Ever Echad, the Avram Be'Ever Acher. The whole world was on one side, one bank of the river, and Avram was on the other. He was willing to stand up for something. He was willing to teach people. He was willing to stand on a platform and tell the people that you're making a mistake. Avodah Zarah, it's a joke. There's no such thing. My father, my grandfather, Terach and Nachor, they had it all wrong. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to speak the truth. There's a God. There must be a God. I see the plants. I see the moon. I see the sun. I see the star. I see the cosmos. There's inanimate objects. There's plant life. There's an animal kingdom. There are human beings. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. There's a God, and he taught people about that, and he tried to inspire people, but he was willing to fight. It wasn't hard. He was thrown into a kivshan. He was fought tooth and nail. Avram didn't have it easy. Of course, he later became the prime and the light of Mesopotamia, and Avram Avinu became the leader, and he was Torah u'gedula b'makom echad. Avram had wealth. He had strength. He had abilities. He was somebody who was able to inspire people. He was a godly man. But they didn't come naturally. Avram Avinu had to stand up for that. We only learn about Avram Avinu next week's Parshas Lech Lecha at the age of 75. That's when we're introduced to Avram. Where was Avram till 75? Avram Avinu was fighting people. He was fighting his own understanding of life. He was working very hard. And this is something that Avram was able to do against all odds. Be'ever acher, be'ivri. As opposed to Noah, who wasn't willing to do that. He wasn't ready to stand strong. He wasn't willing to stand tall. He just wanted to be chen. He just wanted to be Nach. And that's the same thing which is true with the world of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was born into slavery. He was born, it's true, into a king's palace where he had all the physical necessities and bounty that he needed. But his people fought him. He was trying to inspire a generation of slaves to allow them to emerge, to leave Egypt, and to enter Eretz Yisrael, to go to Matan Torah, to Har Sinai, to be given the Torah. They weren't so excited about that. They fought him tooth and nail. We've learned Sefer Bamidbar together. Moshe Rabbeinu certainly was a leader of Klal Yisrael, but his leadership wasn't a leadership that was simply a peachy leadership without any fighting and without any difficulties. It was just the opposite. Moshe Rabbeinu was fought tooth and nail, the Misonanim, the Misonanim. He had Korach Vadaso. He had a lack of hydration. He had a lack of food, and the people fought him. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, this is not the way it's going to be. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. We're headed there. We're going in the right direction. Moshe Rabbeinu had to fight Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu had to stand up against Paro. It wasn't such an easy job. It's for that reason, I believe, that Rashi continuously compares Noach to Avram and Moshe to tell us the following. Noach, you could have been an Avram. You could have been a Moshe. And Moshe, it's not so easy to be a Moshe. And Avram, it's not so easy to be an Avram. It doesn't happen automatically. There's work involved in becoming a leader of the Jewish people. And it's not so simple. And it's not just about the biographies that we read where everybody's just perfect, born perfect, and live perfect lives. It doesn't go like that. There are a lot of challenges along the way. And what makes people great and what makes leaders great is their ability to be able to deal with challenges and difficulties and struggles. And the trials and the tribulations that Avram Avinu and that Moshe Rabbeinu had, those are the ones that made them Avram Avinu. Those are the ones that made them Moshe Rabbeinu. And Noach could have had that as well. And he was given talents and traits and unique qualities and spiritual aptitudes that Moshe didn't have, that Avram didn't have. We know Moshe Rabbeinu was a kfar pevik, kfar lashon. Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't speak. He stuttered. But what do we see? Any deficiencies in Noach? Not a one. Tzadik tamim. Perfection. His haleich Noach. He was walking in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here you have this double-edged sword where Noach had the chance. He had the ability. He had the attitude. He had the capabilities. He had the traits. But it doesn't go because he's not willing to face the test, to face the battles, to face the challenges that later successors of his will have, the likes of Avram Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu. So on the one hand, it's kind of sad. It's a sad state, and it's a sad parsha, and it's a sad commentary on Noach. But of course, it's something that we have to understand, because yes, now we can understand what it means when Rashi says that Noach was miktane amana, mamin ve'eno mamin. He believed and he didn't believe. Noach had a very, very complicated and a very mixed approach and personality. He was a person who believed and didn't believe. He was so close, but he was so far. He was a tzaddik tamim, but he was an isha damim. He was a tzaddik, but he was a tzaddik tamim. He was an isha damim. He had everything. There was a mixture. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, you have the potential. But this is where Noach was unable to move from rung to rung. And that's why he stayed status quo as the ish achein, and as the ish anach, as opposed to being Noach, who continued to build. What I'd like to do is show you in the psukim how this very much reveals itself in the life of Noach. If you take a look in the parasha, in the opening psukim, you'll see that you never see any proactive nature of Noach. You see nothing about Noach taking a chance. And so much so, I believe that that's the reason why Noach is introduced as tzaddik tamim b'dorosav, as ha'olokim es halach Noach. You know what the Torah is doing? You know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him? It's like when a parent or when a teacher tells the child, you're a tzaddik, you're such a great kid, you have so much potential, because you want the individual, the student, the child to believe in themselves. You have so much abilities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you could do it, Noach. I'm giving you everything. But Noach is unable to believe in himself, and he's unable to step up to the challenge because he wants to make sure that everybody's going to be okay with him. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Noach the directions, the recipe, exactly how to build the teva. Noach couldn't figure that out himself. He couldn't build. He even needed that from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Noach, Aselecha tevas gofer, kinin tasas ateva, vechafartos mibaisim chutz gofer. Every single piece of direction is given to Noach. Nothing does Noach do by himself. Furthermore, the Psukim tell us, here's who's going to go into the Teva. I'm going to tell you who's going to go into the Teva. You and your family, your wives, your sons' wives, the animals that are Tahor, the animals are Tameh. And here's the critical Pasuk. Perek Vav, Pasuk Chav Beis, the last Pasuk in the opening Aliyah, and the last Pasuk in Perek Vav, Vayas Noach, Kichol Asher Tziva Oso Elokim Kenasa. And Noach did, accordingly to God, everything that he was commanded to do. That was Noach. Perfection. He followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the T. He didn't veer an iota. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He didn't change. And he did exactly what he was told to do. And that is to his credit, L'shvacho. And that's to his praise. But that's also to his detriment, because Noach wasn't willing to do anything different. He wasn't willing to take any proactive nature. And if you look in Parag Zion Pasuk Aleph, Vayomer Hashem Lenoach, Bo Atavacho Beisech LaTeva. He needs an invitation to the Teva. He doesn't even enter the Teva himself, and it's on that that Rashi tells him that he believed and he didn't believe. He waited. He needed an invitation. Kodesh Baruch Hu said there's going to be a mabul. There's going to be a terrible, terrible flood, a storm that's going to take over the world. I'm telling you to build a Teva. Now go into the Teva, Noach. Go into the Teva. Come on, Noach. Get it together. Of course you have to go into the Teva. And says the Pasuk, Ki oscha ra'isi tzadik lefana b'darazah. I have seen you as a tzadik in this generation. Now note, as I pointed out earlier, he's no longer a tzadik tamim. He's only a tzadik now. But still, Mefarshim point out, I think it's a Kedushas Levi as well, who says, Ki oscha ra'isi tzadik lefana b'darazah. Again, to tell Noach, Noach, I believe you. You're such a tzadik. You're such a good kid. Like the Rebbe tells the student, yeah, tzadikal, tzadikal, tzadikal. He needs it. He needs the chizik. He needs the encouragement. So he's telling him, I see you as a righteous person. You're the only one in the generation. Noach, please do something about it. Change the people. And then again, he continues to be told exactly what to do. And not surprisingly, follow the psukim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, Vayas Noach, Kechol Asher Tzivo Hashem. Noach does exactly what God tells him, right? Like the student who doesn't do anything that he or she is not supposed to do. I say, you told me to go into the table, I'll go into the table. You told me to bring this amount of kosher animals, this amount of not kosher animals, I'll do exactly what you say. I should build the table, I'll do it. Vayas Noach, Kechol Asher Tzivo Hashem. Noach does exactly what he's supposed to do. The Torah goes on and continues and tells us that he follows what Hashem says. And take a look again. Pasuk Tes. Shnaim, Shnaim, Baalat El Noach. Two animals at a time came to Noach. El Ateva, Zachar, Menekeva. Kasher, Tziva, Elokim, Es Noach. Just like God commanded Noach again. The same refrain repeated over and over again throughout the opening section of the Torah, of the Psukim, of the Parsha. And again, take a look in Perek Tezayin. V'habayim zachar nekevim mikol basa sherbo kasher tziva oso elokim. Exactly as God commanded. So like we always try to do, we look and find a word that seems to be the word that's used over and over. And again, in this case, it's not just a word, but it's a refrain. And this seems to be the man Noach. The man Noach is the person who's kasher tziva oso elokim. He does exactly what he's supposed to do. He's the Noach, and he's the Chain, and he follows God. He wants to make sure that God is happy with him, and he wants to make sure people are happy with him. But we see nothing in these Prakim and the opening Psukim and Perek Vav, Perek Zayin. Is Noach talking to his people? You see nothing. Complete silence. Radio silence. You don't see Noach interacting. You don't see Noach talking. You don't see Noach inspiring. Noach is only being spoken to. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't tell him to tell the people something, he's not going to tell them. I'll only do Kasher Tzivo Sol Kilin Kemen Asa. I'm just going to do what you tell me to do, God. But God, you didn't tell me to tell the people. You don't tell me to do or what I should say. How do I know what to say? You have to put the words in your mouth. So Noach is silent and he's quiet. If you want me to be safe to go into the Teva, you tell me who I should go into the Teva with, which family members, which animals, I'll do it, God. But until you tell me what I should do, the Torah doesn't say anything else about Noach. And this continues in Perek Ches. Take a look at this. Perek Ches says as follows. Noach is following the Mabul, which emerges. And the Torah reports that the Mabul took over the world. It completely submerged the land as we know of it. And on the 17th day of this month, of the Chodesh Cheshvan, the Teva lands on Hare Arat. And Yonah has to try to figure out where to go from here. Vayiftach Noach es chalon ha-teva she'asa. Noach opens up the Teva, sort of looking to try to understand, where do I go from here? What do I do? The windows are open. Vayishlach es ha-orev. And this is almost the first thing that Noach does independently, without being told. Vayishlach es ha-orev. Noach sends out the raven. And what does the raven do? It kept on going and returning until the waters dried. And then the Torah continues, Vayishlach hasa Yonah. Yonah sent out the Yonah. Liros hakelu hamayim al pnei adama. Will the water actually settle? Will that happen? And the Yonah, this dove, was unable to find land. And look at what happens here in Pasuk Yod. Vayachel od shivas yamim acherim. Vayosef shalach hasayonim en ateva. What does Noach do? What does the word vayachel mean? Noach waited. Again, his personality. Noach waits. He's not rushing out of the teva. He doesn't hear God talking to him. Just like God told him to enter the Teva, maybe Noach is waiting for God to tell him to leave the Teva. So although Noach is involved in sending out the raven and the dove, at the end of the day, he still waits. And take a look again in Pasuk Yud Beis. Vayachel od shivas yamechem. Noach waits another 7 days. Vayashlach hasayonim v'liyasvot shubei labor. And finally, when the dove doesn't return, at that point, Noach understands that something is happening here. The land must be dry. So Noach is vayachel, waits twice, two sets of 7 days, still not willing to move forward. And here's the kicker. And this puts everything into context. Take a look. Vayedaber lokim al Noach lemor, the first pasuk in Nevi, Perek Ches, pasuk Tezayin, Tzei min ha-teva. What does God tell him? Just like Noach, you should enter the Teva, now leave the Teva. Noach doesn't even leave the Teva. He had a hard time entering. He has a hard time exiting. Same in a Teva. Leave the Teva. So Noach has to be told to exit the Teva. He's not willing. He's not prepared. He's not encouraged. He's not strong enough to leave the Teva until HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. And listen to the commandment that goes along with it. Same in Ateva, Ufaru v'Ravalart. And now Noach is given the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, and he's told that you have to do something. It's not enough just to leave the Teva and be passive, but it's now your opportunity, Ufaru v'Ravalart. Build, develop the land. Develop everything that you're supposed to do. Build. And here in Pasuk Chaf, again, you see Noach doing something for the first time, independently, shockingly, without any commandment, without any tzivur, the Pasuk says, Vayive Noach Mizbeach Lashem. Noach builds a Mizbeach. The first thing, really, that Noach does as a spiritual pursuit to engage HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without being commanded, is Vayive Noach Mizbeach Lashem. Noach builds a Mizbeach Lashem. And look at God's reaction. Vayorech Hashem Ezreach HaNichoach, Vayomer Hashem Elibo Lo'osif L'kal Oros Adama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu finds favor in the pleasing aroma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the offering has. And this is Noach's first time doing something by himself and seeing results that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is satisfied and is happy with what he has done. And furthermore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Noach in no uncertain terms. Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph, the Torah says, Pruvu Miluas Arts, again, he's told to be fruitful and to be multiplied. Umorachem v'chitchem yeh al kolchayas arts, your fear, your dread will be on all flesh. You, Noach, you have the opportunity, you have the ability to be strong, to be powerful. Don't stop there. Keep on going, Noach. Now, Noach is built. Noach has the encouragement. Noach sees that really he can be creative. He can be original. He can do things. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding him, Purvu, Morachem v'chitchem, Yiyal Aretz. And now we see, unfortunately, what Noach does when he sees and he feels encouraged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens after Noach is commanded to leave the Teva? Noach leaves the Teva, as reported in Perek Tes, Pasuk Yuches, chapter 9, verse 18. Vahi Noach, b'nei Noach, hayotzi min ha-teva shem v'cham v'yafes, v'cham hu avi kenan. So he leaves the Teva, and he goes with his sons. And Pasuk Chaf Aleph, v'yachel Noach ish ha-adama v'yita kerem. Noach, the man of the earth, no longer the tzaddik tamim, no longer the tzaddik, but he's given a different, completely changed title, ish ha-adama. A man of the ground, vayita karm, and he plants a vineyard. Vayesh min hayayin vayishkar. He drinks the wine and he becomes drunk. Vayisko besochalo. He uncovers himself within his tent. And of course, we know the end of the story. Noach embarrasses, debases himself. His son, Cham, comes and reveals his father in a very embarrassing way. It's only Yefes who comes to protect his father. But here, Noach uses his ability to be strong and creative. Noah, who built the Mizbeach and it found favor in the eyes of Hashem, now also does something independent, original, creative, and it goes the wrong way. Vayachel Noach ish ha'adama v'yita karem. He's not commanded by God. And what happens? He does something that he's not commanded to do, and everything falls apart. He builds, he plants this vineyard, he plants the grapes. The grapes ferment, he drinks wine, he becomes drunk, and Noach's life really is left with this as his remembrance. Ish ha'adama. You see how he goes from the tzaddik tamim to the ish ha'adama. As the Meshech Chachma points out on this pasuk here, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, who goes from an ish mitzri to an ish elokim. Moshe Rabbeinu rises in status. He starts as an Egyptian, as an Ish Mitzri, and he climbs the ladder of spirituality until he becomes an Ish Elokim, a godly man. As opposed to Noach, who is just the opposite. He goes from being a Tzaddik Tamim and ultimately falls down, and he becomes this individual who is known as the Ish Adama, the man of the ground. So here you have the life of Noach. An individual who I think is personified by his name. As I pointed out, it's the man of Nach. It's the man of Chen. And this is a challenge that Noach has. Now, is this good? Is this bad? Well, I'll leave that to you. Because as the questions that I see coming in, yes, of course you can be built up. And we have to teach people to follow and to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do. And Noach gets and scores a 10. He scores 100 in that area. He does exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him to do. But sometimes, a difficult situations call for challenging decisions to be made. And Noach doesn't seem to be able to step up to the challenges that he's given, the challenge of his generation. Now, Noach was born into a generation because HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood that Noach could be Oscha Ra'isi Tzadik Lefanei Badorza. He had the opportunity. He had the wherewithal. He had the traits, he had the inherent abilities and qualities to be able to inspire, to encourage, to chastise, and to cajole the people to change their ways. Yonah Hanavi, famously, is very reminiscent of Noach, right? Yonah also sort of runs away from his challenge, born into a very, very difficult predicament, and he's given a prophecy, and Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, go to Nineveh, Ha'ir HaGdol, Ukra Eleha. And Yonah doesn't want to face, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu understands that he can do it, just like Noach can do it. And Yonah wakes up from his slumber, from his sleep, and he understands that he can do something about the situation. Kum kra elecha Yisrael, call out to your God of Israel. And he does, and he goes, he inspires, he encourages, he cajoles, and he chastises the people until the city of Nineveh is ready to do tshuva. But Noach, you see none of that. Not even a havamina, not even an a priori thought. And that's why the Navi Yeshaya refers to the Mabla as Mei Noach, because Noach seems to be the one held responsible. He doesn't daven for his generation. He doesn't speak to the people privately or publicly. And in the Psukim, you don't see any encounter, any dialogue with the people. You don't see Noach even asking Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want from me? Should I do this, that, or the other thing? Even a student who is so obedient will sometimes ask the teacher, should I do this homework? Should I do that homework? You want me to clean my room or you want me to wash the dishes? What do you want? Noach doesn't do any of that. So some of the lessons that we need to take out of the parsha of Noach is, number one, recognizing that things don't come easy. And that's why Rashi, Chazal compare Noach to Avram and to Moshe, because Avram and Moshe had the same challenges. They stood up to people. Avram in next week's parsha will speak up to Stone. Stone wasn't easy. They're not an easy people. Stands up to Avimelech. Avimelech wasn't easy. Stands up to many people in his surroundings and to the world. And that's what makes Avram Avram. Moshe Rabbeinu does the same thing. Noach could have, should have, was able to, but doesn't. And that's where we find the difference and the changes between the lives of Avram and Moshe as opposed to the life of Noach. More than that, there is a positive to take out that Noach did what he was supposed to do. It's true, Kasher Tziva Oselokim. Yes, he did what he was supposed to do. But Afal Pichin, we need to realize that sometimes we have to be more proactive, and figuring out how to be proactive is not simple. Because when Noach tried to be proactive, he scored a 50. He did well when he was even Mizbeach. And a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Vayar Hashem Mizbeach Nichach. It was a favorable aroma. But when he wasn't told to build the kerem, the orchard, and the grapes, which he does, you see that Noach failed. So Noach and every individual needs to really figure out, who am I? What are my strengths? What are my weaknesses? Who am I as a person? What's in a name? And what's in Noach's name as Chen and Noach certainly speak to his personality. And that requires Noach to do a lot of soul searching and figuring out, what do I do? And where are my talents lie? And what can I do with the people, the generation that I was born into? So this is a bit of a synopsis of Parshas Noach, some thoughts and perspective on who Noach was, why he's consistently compared and contrasted to Moshe and to Avram, and showing you in the Psukim how Noach's struggle and Noach's essence was really from his name, who his name was, and how you see that he's the person, Kasher Tziva Oso Elokim. Was it a failure to plant the vineyard or to let himself get drunk? Why would growing a vineyard? Certainly it was a failure. Rashi notes on the Pasuk where it says that he built a vineyard, that he should have planted something else. When the world is destroyed and there's a flood that overtakes the world, there are certain things you should be planting and certain things you shouldn't be planting. Yes, Noah has to engage the world in creation. Noah has to build a whole new world. That's exactly his responsibility and his job. He's got to start again. That's what he has to do. But the question is, what do you do first? After you emerge from a flood, you emerge from a pandemic, what are you going to do first? Are you going to plant grapes? Are you going to make wine? Wine is very important. I'm not taking away from wine. But you got to know what to plant. Maybe they needed tomatoes, and maybe they needed cucumbers, and maybe they needed apples first. So yes, it was absolutely the inappropriate thing to do. And the proof is in the fact that his life fell apart. He got drunk. His son revealed him, and Noach is left debased and completely sullied. So every individual has to understand what they are supposed to do. You'll take a look if you didn't have a chance yet. In the drush that I gave on Thursday, I speak a little bit more about Noach waking up from his slumber and from his stupor, and certainly what a human being and a person should do when they are given the chance to really recreate and rebuild the world.